Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer of the Month, Wendy Matfolk, from the Barber Kettle Gunlock Shelter Home. Wendy has volunteered at the shelter since 1992. She has been dedicated to their cause against domestic violence throughout all these years, and her calming presence with residents and willingness to listen is a positive attribute to her volunteer work with the agency. If you know an incredible volunteer like Wendy, go to dogoodcc.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Glad that you are along on this Sunday morning. Again, a reminder about the big event going on today in Launce. The Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is running their annual summer picnic event. That will run from noon until 3 today as we broadcast this on Sunday morning. And you are invited to Launce Waterfront Park, and there'll be live music and free food and all sorts of fun stuff. So please take advantage of that opportunity if you're in the area, or even if you're not, you can go. There is, in your house and my house and everybody's house, there is stuff that we really don't want it around. It's not good or healthy to have it around, and it's really tough to get rid of. Hazardous types of wastes, things of that nature. The Copper Country Recycling Initiative is opening up an effort to try to find out what we have, what we're worried about, and what the heck we can do about all of it. And so I welcome in Ginny Henner and Doug McKenzie from the Copper Country Recycling Initiative. Welcome both to Copper Country Today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd,
honored
for having
to
us. Yeah, it's really great.
We have periodically these recycling events, these hazardous waste recycling events. But even there's a whole long list of things that they aren't taking at those events, because there are certain things that have to be disposed of in certain ways, and there are some things that we have trouble getting disposed of in any way. I suppose. What are the things that we are looking to try to get rid of out of people's houses here?
Yeah, so, first of all, I think it's important to think about what exactly hazardous waste is, at least household hazardous waste. And it's anything that if you, poured it out in your backyard or threw it away in the yard that could be dangerous to yourself or the environment or animals in some way. So, and it's, something that we wouldn't want to get into our water supply, or we wouldn't want children to come across it and decide they wanted to, do something with it. So it's a fairly long list of items. So it includes everything from things like mercury or certain kinds of pesticides and fertilizers to automotive fluids. It can include things like medications and sharps, batteries that might leak, chemicals, propane tanks, pool chemicals, although you don't see that much around here.
No, we don't have any pool chemicals. Sauna chemicals.
That's right. Flammable household chemicals like cleaners or adhesives or your WD-40 or paints, things like that. And so we're interested in the Copper Country Recycling Initiative is interested in finding out what people have in their home and kind of prioritizing what they have most of, because we would like to host an event or find some way to host events ongoing that we can collect those materials to get them out of people's homes and they can safely dispose them. So kind of everything that I've mentioned, we would really love to find a way to help remove those from people's homes if they don't want them anymore.
Now, some of this, I assume, can be recycled. Some of this probably can't.
Yeah, so some of it can't be, some of it can be recycled or, reused in some way. And then, some of it can't, so it needs to be properly disposed of. So we know that, for example, there are some automotive fluids that can be oil. That's not something you want to dump in your backyard, but we know that several places will accept it and they use it for heating fluid. So those, that's something that can be disposed of or managed in a different way.
Yeah, electronics.
Yes.
Those can go in, and they periodically have electronic waste recycling opportunities here, because they can go back in and they can get some of those precious metals out that are used for contacts on circuit boards and things of that nature. And they can actually, I think, do pretty well.
Yes.
With some of those types of things. Coppers in Hubble is involved in that commercially. So there are all sorts of things. And all of this stuff seems to be hidden. I grew up in the building business. I have a fair amount of knowledge of what went into houses years ago. You mentioned mercury.
Mm-hmm.
There are old light switches that have mercury in them, the old silent switches, the original ones that came out. That's how they worked. They had a mercury capsule behind them, and when you threw the switch, the mercury would drop down and make the connection, because it's a metal, it transits, and then you throw the switch the other direction, and the mercury would move away from it. There are people who have mercury sitting behind light switches in their houses right now.
Sure, there's a lot of that. And all fluorescent lights have mercury, which a lot of people don't realize. The little CFLs, little pigtails you screw into your light socket, they all have mercury. The long tubes overhead, fluorescents, all have mercury, and none of them should go into the landfill. So when I ask neighbors and friends, what do you do with your spent CFLs and fluorescents? Well, I crush them up and put them in the garbage. So one of our missions is to find a way to appropriately send these to a recycling center. And they will actually, they'll take the mercury out of these and recycle it. So when you say a lot of these things aren't recyclable, they actually, almost all of them are. Latex paint, oil paint, they can take chemicals out of those and reuse them. Batteries, according to the EPA, batteries should not go into landfill, any batteries. Now, the manufacturers say that the NiCads, nickel cadmiums, are safe, that they are not harmful to throw into landfill, but the EPA says absolutely not, they should not go into landfill. But they are full of chemicals that are recyclable and reusable, all batteries.
Yeah.
And we actually have an outlet locally for that, which most people don't realize.
Who? Where?
Ramey Battery.
Okay, Ramey Battery takes
Ramey Battery will take
in?
Any batteries from you.
Great. I've got a bunch.
Bring them to Ramey.
I didn't know that.
They will smile and they'll take them happily. Another major thing they do is if you have a NiCad rechargeable battery pack that is no longer taking a charge, they will take the plastic casing off, put new batteries in it, put it back together, and you have a usable, rechargeable battery pack without having to send that plastic to the trash.
So there are all these opportunities, I suspect, a lot of opportunities like this throughout the community that a lot of people have no idea exist at all.
Sure.
So maybe part of the effort is just to let people know what's out there. Maybe we need to do a better job of promoting this kind of thing. We know that, like you mentioned, there are people who will take your used motor oil. If you still do your own oil changes, you take that back in. You don't throw that stuff out. I'm not sure what to do with it. I know what I'll probably wind up doing with it. I have nearly a gallon of gasoline that I need to get rid of. And I have it because I have a gasoline-powered line trimmer, which I use about a half a dozen times a summer. And I have to mix a gallon of gasoline with oil to make sure that the percentages are right. And then the gasoline goes bad, and I have to throw it out.
Well, so I've
actually... Is there anybody who takes old gasoline?
Well, when I read about that, Google... Dr. Google says mix a little bit of it in your car tank. So a little bit at a time. It will not harm your car. Your car is used to running on skunk gas or your lawnmower. You don't fill it with that stuff because it'll smoke. But if you put a little bit in at a time, every time you fill your lawnmower or your car, you'll get rid of it that way.
Okay, because I've got some of that. I mean, I was thinking about this program. I was thinking about stuff that I have around the house that I suspect a lot of people have around the house.
Sure.
And that was one thing that came to mind. I've got this nearly full gallon of gasoline that's really not very good gasoline anymore.
I don't think anybody locally will take that. But one of our missions is to keep an up-to-date list of where to recycle things. I just handed you the list.
Is this on your website?
Yes.
Well, the one that's on the website isn't updated. We need to get that updated.
Okay, but people can go to the website, and which
Copper
is CopperCountryRecycleReuse.com.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And you can take a look at all of these. Look at all of these things here. And of course, this runs the gamut from things that we know about, I know that I can take clothes I'm not using anymore to the Angel Mission or to St. Vincent de Paul, and that keeps them out of landfill for at least a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there are and other things, you know, if I get a new set of dishes, if I get, you know, rather than tossing those things out, there are all sorts of people willing to take that kind of stuff. So, and furniture, I see on the books, there are people who take books that you're getting rid of, things of that nature. And I have paint.
We all have paint. 30 cans in the basement. Yeah, we all have those.
I have paint in the basement. Some of it's mine, but most of it I inherited when I bought the house. And I have no idea how old it is. Most of it is latex paint, some God knows what. And that's one of the things that I typically see on the list of, we will not take these at the hazardous materials recycling event. We'll not take paint. What do I do with all this old paint?
So transportation is the big problem. If you lived in Detroit, there would be centers that would take it from you. And everything in paint is recyclables. People who know how to take it apart can get the chemicals out of it and reuse them. But we have no such capacity up here. Latex paint, which they'll tell you at Sherwin-Williams, you layer it out on cardboard and let it dry. And it took me about 2 months to get my 30 cans to dry. Or put kitty litter in it, but there we're filling our landfill. 10 states have extended producer responsibility, Maine, Minnesota, and 8 other states. And there's an organization downstate pushing for it in Michigan, so it's like the bottle bill. So a $2 deposit every time you buy a can of paint, and then they fund centers across the state that will take your used paint. They're required to, and they'll send it to a reprocessing center.
Do you get your $2 back?
You do not. It's a deposit.
Okay. So, well, a deposit is something.
Well, it's
you get
not a deposit.
Back.
No,
it's like a surcharge.
Right. It's a surcharge.
Which is going to cover then the cost of taking care of that paint afterward.
Right. So, if Michigan had such, we would no doubt have a center on the UP that would take our 30 cans of used paint.
We all seem to have this paint in the basement. Some of it's latex. Some of it's oil based. Some of it, who knows what it is.
So, oil based, you can't do that with. It's flammable.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you do with the oil-based paint?
You hang on to it until we find a way to get rid of it, and we're working hard on that.
Great. It's going to sit in my basement for...
we're working hard on finding a way to have somebody collect the oil-based paints, solvents, paint thinners, fluorescent bulbs. Please do not throw them into the garbage. We're working hard on finding a way to send them out of the area.
Well, and those curly little bulbs... That was the first replacement for the old incandescent bulbs because they were much more energy efficient. And at the time, I remember people saying, wait a minute, we're causing another problem by switching over to these things. They didn't last very long in terms of being the market leader. They came out with the LED bulbs, which are a whole lot better for the environment and such. And so it was kind of a quick-based fad. But I have some in my house. And I'm going to use them until they die. There's no point in throwing them away now. But when they go, there's got to be some place to take them.
Well, please hang on to them. So my mantra is that garbage can in the kitchen is just so easy. So I'll bet 99% of spent fluorescent bulbs go into the garbage.
I would think so, too.
And then they magically disappear, and it's not my problem. But they go into landfills, the mercury leaches. So when I talk to landfillers, they are required by law to try to prepare the landfill so that the mercury won't leak out into the water table. But wouldn't it be better to keep it from going there in the first place?
Absolutely. I'm talking with Jenny Henner and Doug McKenzie from the Copper Country Recycling Initiative about the hazardous things that we have in our house and how we can, or in some cases can't, get rid of them. You mentioned one of the problems, obviously, is our remoteness. If you were in Detroit or Grand Rapids or Milwaukee or someplace like that, there'll be places set up that can take a lot of this stuff. Here, we're pretty much on our own when it comes to some things, at least.
Yeah, I think that's true. Although, as we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, there are a large number of places where we can take things locally, but there's definitely gaps in where we can take things. So, for example, the CFL lights, right now the closest place that we can safely dispose of them is Lowe's in Marquette.
Okay.
So folks who travel over there, you can they will accept 6 of the bulbs at a time, right in their customer service area. You can dispose of them. But we would like to have a place locally because, you know, not everybody travels to Marquette. So.
Well, and maybe this takes a little planning.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm going to Marquette, If I'm going maybe to Detroit or someplace like that, maybe I throw some of this stuff in the back. And if I've got a friend or relative there that I'm going to be seeing or staying with, maybe I give it to them and they try to get rid of it for me.
Sure. One little wrinkle is, so I've got rid of some there. I've got about 100 to get rid of, so that's a lot of trips to Marquette. But they require every bulb be wrapped in a plastic bag, a single-use plastic bag.
Wow.
So plastic bags aren't hazardous waste, but it takes plastic bags, plastic spoons, plastic plates.
Because we need more plastic in the landfill.
Right.
No. You know. Yeah.
It takes them 1,000 years to break down, and they turn into microplastics, which are killing our fish.
They never go away, and it brings me to a point that I've been pondering recently, and that is when we start putting more emphasis on creating packaging and implements and such that will break down more easily. And I know there have been people looking into that for a long time, but let's say I recycle my plastic milk jug. It's going to be turned into something else, and eventually that something else is going to be thrown away. If it can't be recycled, eventually it's going to wind up in a landfill somewhere, some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
How do we realign society and say, hey, we need packaging that's perhaps not as large as some things? I bought something a while back. It was a bottle of pills. It was in a box like this big, and the bottle was like this big, and there were pills in about 25% of it.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, look at the waste here.
Sure.
Look at the waste. How do we get past our need for all of that stuff in the first place?
Well, part of it is talk to your legislators. I wasn't aware that in 2016, our then governor passed a law that communities, by law, cannot outlaw single-use plastic in Michigan.
Yes, I remember that.
Canada is perched on banning single-use plastic.
Yeah, it was a reaction to some communities, I think in California, that had started to go that direction, and it was a conservative legislature at the time, and they reacted to that by saying, we're not going to let that happen here.
Well, I just learned that Colorado has the same law. They cannot ban it, but being a liberal state, a number of communities have banned single-use plastic, sort of thumbing their nose at the state legislature, and they haven't taken any action yet. So maybe we could be the test case here. But we need to get rid of single-use plastics. That spoon you stir your coffee with once and throw it away, this is stupid. The 15 plastic bags when you go to Walmart.
And, you know, it seems so small, but I've stopped taking a straw and a cap.
Good.
If I'm eating at the fast food restaurant. If I take it home and I'm going to drink it in the car, I don't have much choice. But if I'm eating at the restaurant, why do I need a cap and a straw?
Yeah. Well, and why do you need a spoon and a fork and a spoon? Keep those in your glove box. When you go into the fast food place, bring in your own plasticware.
Turn
away theirs.
So I think this brings up a good point, and I think it also carries over with our discussion about hazardous waste too. I really think some of this starts with us as consumers of products, like making choices to reduce packaging, so for example, when we go to Walmart, you know, we take our grocery bags, and then we don't use the single-use plastic bags, and maybe we, don't put our vegetables in the extra plastic bags that we can, so we just leave them loose, and so we as a consumer make a choice to, or like you said about not, taking a straw or a lid. So I think that, that sends a message to industry too, that, we don't need some of this extra packaging.
I have a reusable bag that I typically, when I get to the grocery store, leave sitting in the back seat of my car, remember it midway through, finally check out, get their bags, and then I get back to the car. And I've decided that the primary purpose of the reusable bag is to make me feel guilty about not using it.
Absolutely. So it worked. So when I go to a grocery store, I just leave everything loose in my cart and then put it loose in the back of the car. And when I get to my home, I put it in bags and carry it in.
But where I was going with that, with the hazardous waste, is that we can conceptualize this around hazardous waste too. So for example, if we're going to buy paint, like maybe only buy what we think we're actually going to use. So, it might be you know, that the paint is on sale, and so we think, you know, we might end up wanting to touch up. So we buy 2 gallons rather than the 1 gallon,
right,
or whatever. And so even though, you know, so then we choose to only buy the 1 gallon, or, so it does take preparation and, like, foresight. Like, you know, what do I actually need in this instance? But that's one way that consumers can make a difference with what ends up being collected in their home. As far as hazardous, well, as far as waste just goes in general. So the other, another thing along these lines is that one of the best ways to get rid of hazardous waste is to use it, like, for whatever its purpose was. So folks who have extra, like, latex paint, or not latex, because latex isn't hazardous waste, but, like, oil-based paints, or, like, you were talking about the gasoline earlier, like, finding a way to actually use it. So, you know, there are some really good sites out there these days, like Buy Nothing Houghton, or, you know, Facebook sites, or some free giveaway sites where you could just advertise. You know, I have half of a 5 gallon tub of oil-based Dextane pine for free.
Yeah, stop by, pick it up.
I have, you know, these extra cans of, you know, spray paint. I have this gasoline that isn't working. You know, Doug and I had talked about his CFL lights, and we ended up finding out that people who have some CFL lights that still work, but they don't want to use those products anymore. There are people who start seeds inside their home, and those CFL lights are perfect for
the little grow lights.
Exactly. They are little grow lights. And so it's, you know, so advertising ways to get, you know, give away things that they might not use, gets it out of their home. And, you know, some of the products, like the steel cans that the paint are in, or the aerosol cans, once they're empty, those actually can be recycled.
Sure, that's metal that can be recycled. So,
yeah.
So you guys are looking to try to get a handle on what we have, and that can then give you an idea as to what kind of steps we may need to take to do about it. How do you find out? You've got a survey, I believe, that's underway, and we're trying to find out what people have. How can people get involved with this?
Yes. So the first of all, it would be great if people would take the survey, because it gives us data. Although, based upon what's already been put out there, we have a valid number of surveys at this point to seek out grants.
Well, that's really good, because you didn't start this all that long ago, did you?
No.
So there's interest.
There is. People are really being forthcoming with what they have, and I think it's because people really do want to know how to get rid of these items, and, you know, and they want help, and so yes, they're giving us that feedback.
But if somebody still wants to get involved, how can they do that?
Well, they can contact the CCRI, the Copper Country Recycling Initiative, because we do need help. We're looking for grants and ways to bring an event or create some ongoing program here.
And the more information that you get, the better you can structure a program, and once programs are structured, then we can start to promote a little bit better and say, hey, if you've got such and such, bring it here. Do this with it. If you've got this and so, do that with it. And, of course, you mentioned, we talked about it a few minutes earlier, at coppercountryrecyclereuse.com, at your website, a really long list of ways and places that you can recycle things. Is there a resource for people to find out what kind of hazardous things they have in their houses? Golly sakes, I've got mercury in my old thermostat, things like that. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have no idea that some of the stuff they have is toxic.
Boy, how to educate? I don't know. The health department is involved in that too. So they'll take thermostats, switches, the health department, they send them to Marquette.
Yeah, and I think maybe the best thing for folks to do would be just to do a Google search. You know, what in my home might be hazardous?
Well, on that website, there's actually a hazardous waste wizard or recycling wizard. You can type into it what you have, and it'll tell you how to appropriately dispose of it and where to dispose of it.
Okay. Got to wrap this up, but if folks want to be involved with your organization, the Copper Country Recycling Initiative, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, there is a contact space on our website, so you can put your email information in there and say, I would like to be involved. Also, we have a Facebook page that you can reach out to us through our Facebook page.
Thank you for coming in. Keep me posted as to how this is going, and anything that we can do as a radio station to help disseminate this information, please let us know.
Well, it's so wonderful to find an advocate. So thank you for inviting us.
Todd, thank you so much.